Okay, good morning. This week we are learning Sukkah Daf Yud Gimel. The shiur is sponsored by Yitz Weiss, CPA. Shake things up a bit this tax season. And the breakfast is sponsored by Bagel Munch in honor of their granddaughter. And we are picking up on Yid Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom, Amar of Yehuda. And we've been talking recently about what is kasher and pasul for schach. And there are really two rules, just to remind ourselves. The two things that you're looking for is that your schach cannot be mekabel tumah. Certain types of things are mekabel tumah, like people, but you're not using people for your schach. Food, ochel lamashkin, could be mekabel tumah. And kalim could be mekabel tumah. So when we're looking for our schach to be kosher, it shouldn't be a food, and therefore our go-to is usually like plants. Plants are not mekabel tumah. That's number one. And number two, it also has to be gidul lo min haaretz. It has to grow from the ground. So if it's mekabel tumah, that's a problem. If it doesn't grow from the ground, it's also a problem. So our two boxes we're looking to check off is that, one, it's not mekabel tumah, and two, that it grows from the ground. We learned that actually from the Nanani HaKavod, that clouds are not mekabel tumah and are close enough to growing from the ground. And we extend that to other things as well. Those are our two rules, and we're now going to suggest several different types of plants and things that can be used for schach, or perhaps cannot be used for schach. So Amar Rav Yehuda, Hani Shushi v'Shvatzri misakrin behu. Rav Yehuda says that Shushi and Shvatzri, Rashi says that they are mine yirakos, which really means greenery. They're not vegetables, because vegetables would be food. That would be mekabel tumah, that would not be good. But these different types of greenery are good for schach, but Abaye Amar v'Shushi misakrin. I agree that Shushi can be schach, but Shvatzri lo misakrin, you cannot use Shvatzri for schach. And why not? This is the important line. Mikomako, my taima, kevon desari rech. Because Shvatzri is very smelly. It has a bad smell, it has a bad odor, and therefore you're going to run away from your sukkah if you have a smelly schach. So Abaye says the rule is that you cannot have smelly schach, even though it's the right material. It's your bamboo, and it really should, it checks off all of our boxes, but since it's smelly, sounds like it's a problem either a bun on, you can't have smelly schach because you're going to run away from your sukkah. The Ritva logically extends it not only to the schach, but also to the walls. If your walls are smelly, you're also going to run away from your sukkah. There's a machlokas rishonim, whether this is a problem even b'dieved. Is this just like a preference, lechatchila? If you're going to pick out your schach, pick the not smelly bamboo versus the smelly bamboo? Or perhaps even if you're in your sukkah, on sukkahs, and you start smelling your schach, it smells terrible, would that mean that you're sitting in a pasul sukkah? So the Ritva says yes, that it's even b'dieved. This is a complete problem across the board. But we pass on like the Rambam, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, that it's only a lechatchila din, that you should try to get something that's not going to be smelly. If you're sitting there on sukkahs and you start smelling your schach, it's not going to be a psul that you have to go to a new sukkah now. Yeah, sure.
Is this a unique psul to schach, or is it a general psul with mitzvahs that they should be discussed?
So that's the second. I was thinking about this. What about like having your garbage in your sukkah? Is that related to this din? Shulchan Aruch Paskin, Paskin's a similar halacha about like having dirty kalim in your sukkah, and that seems to relate to what you were saying about mitzvos bezuyos olav, that you shouldn't have a bezuy mitzvah, you shouldn't do disgusting things in your sukkah. So that's why you shouldn't. I mean, you can have your garbage in your sukkah maybe occasionally, but you shouldn't be leaving it in there if it's going to be smelly. That's an inyan of bezuy mitzvah. This sounds like on top of that, that there's this gzera, this psul mi derabanan that Abaye is suggesting, that you may leave your sukkah, and that's going to be an additional reason. But yeah, bezuy mitzvah is also very relevant over here as well. That's number one. Smelly schach is no good. Amar Rav Chanan bar Rava, Hani Hizmi Vehigi Misakhin Behu. Hizmi Vehigi, Rashi says, Mine Sne, different types of bushes. You cannot use them for schach. Or sorry, I skip. Rav Chanan bar Rava says, Hani Hizmi Vehigi Misakhin Behu. That Rav Chanan says that you could. And Abaye comes and says, Behizi Misakhin Behigi Lo Misakhinan. That you can't use Higi, that type of bush cannot be used for your schach. My time, what's the reason? Kevin de Nutri Trafaihu, Shavik La, the Nutri. Because the leaves start falling off, and Rav Chananel says it's going to fall off, it's going to get on you, and it's going to get on your food. It's going to fall in your soup. You're going to have stuff from your schach falling off. That's going to make you also run away from your sukkah. Therefore, that's also going to be a psul. Again, it's all the correct materials for schach, but since it has this problem, it's going to make you run away from your sukkah. That's a reason for it to be psul. L'chora midi rabbanan. And the way that comes out Lamaisa is that it has to be that it's constantly falling out on a consistent basis. If it happens to be it's windy one day and stuff falls out of your schach and falls into your food, again, it's not going to create a psul automatically. It has to be a very consistent flow of stuff falling off of your schach. So that's two dinim, midrabanan, smelly schach, and schach that things fall off of, and that we both pass in the Shulchan Aruch, that would be a psul for your schach. Amar Rav Gidol, Amar Rav. Hay afkusa dedikla misakhin behu. Let's first review. We spoke about last week the concept of having bundles for schach. We had in the Mishnah on Yud Beis that you can have something again, which is the correct materials for your schach, and it's not mekabel toma, and it's gidulam in haaretz, and it's still going to be a problem midrabanan if you bundled it together. And as a psul midrabanan, we have a gzera midrabanan of gzeras otzar, which in theory, if I would take a bundle of kosher schach and throw it on top of my sukkah and say this is going to be there for shade, that should be okay, mita oraisa. But we're concerned, mita rabbanon, that may lead you to do something else very similar, which is problematic. So we say even any cases of bundles are going to be a problem, mita rabbanon. What could possibly be the issue? So we explained last week the concept of gzeras otzar, that imagine a guy who's working in his field. After a long day of work, he has his bundle of sticks, whatever he's going to use for his schach, of branches, and he's carrying it home from work, and he says, oh, I have to put this somewhere to store. I want to put it somewhere just to dry out, so we'll throw it on top of his hut. And at that point, it's not kosher schach, because while a sukkah does not need to be lishma, it doesn't have to be for the sake of the mitzvah, it does have to be l'shem tzel. It has to be put there for shade purposes. So this guy first puts it on his hut just to dry off, not for the sake of shade, and later he decides, oh, actually, it's sukkahs next week. Let me just keep it there and use that for my sukkah. And that is a psul mita oraisa, which we spoke about last week, of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. It has to be that the moment that you build your sukkah, the asiyah, during the action of building your sukkah, at that moment it's kosher. It can't be that you build a sukkah which is pasul, and then later it happens to become kosher without you doing any action. And over here, during the maisa, the asiyah, when you built your sukkah, you took something that was, and you put it on, not for shade purposes, but for drying purposes. At that moment it's a pasul sukkah, at the zman asiyah. Later you change your mind, and it's actually going to be there for schach. That's a problem of ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui. And so that would be a case which is actually a problem mita oraisa. You put it there for drying and you change your mind later, that's a problem mita oraisa. But for that reason, we said any bundle, any case of bundles, when you put it there, even if you put it there for shade initially, that should be okay, but it's not going to be okay mita rabbanan, a gzera that you may come to also put it up there for drying purposes and then change your mind. So we say all bundles are going to be a problem. And we're going to discuss today what exactly is the definition of a bundle. So now we have an example over here. Amar Rav Gidol Amar Rav, Hai Afkusa Didikla Misakhin Behu. Rashi explains that you have an offshoot from a dekel, from a palm tree. It's at the very bottom, at the bottom of the tree, you have different branches that are sticking out, but they're all really connected at the root. And so it looks like five different branches, for example. Look at my hand. You have five different branches, but they're all connected at the bottom. That's how they grew. It grew like that naturally. It's connected, so it's technically bundled because it's connected at the bottom, and it's five different branches. So is that going to be a problem of an aguda having a bundle, which is a problem either a banan? So he said, no, mesakimahu, it's okay. Why? Afagav de agidi. Eged bidei shamayim lo shmei eged. Even though it's bundled, yeah, but you didn't bundle it. Hashem bundled it. And if it was bundled naturally, mea shamayim, that's not going to be a problem of a bundle for the purposes of our gzera of gzeras otzar. The af agav de hader agid luhu. Even if you go then and bundle the top, so it's already bundled on the bottom naturally, and you tie a rope around the top, that's still not going to be a problem of a bundle. Why? Because eged bechad lo shmei eged. You can't bundle one thing. One thing with a string around it is not a bundle. It's just a thing with a string around it. So over here you have one, it looks like five branches. It's considered one thing halachically, and so therefore for you to wrap a rope around the five branches, since it's already connected, it's like you're wrapping a rope around one item, and a rope around one item is not considered a bundle. Lo shmei eged. Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina, Bar Shila, a similar din. Hani dukri dekani. So now you have the same offshoots, but now it's for kani, it's for reeds. Misakim behu, you can use that for schach. Afagav de agidi, ninhu, even though it's a bundle. Eged b'dei shamayim, lo shmei eged. The same halacha, since it was bound naturally, that's not going to be a problem of bundled schach. The afagav de hadar agid lehu, eged b'chad, lo shmei eged. Even though you then go bundle the top, that's still not going to be a problem, because it's bundling one item, a single entity bound together, is not considered a bundle at all. Tanya Mihachi, a support for this, it says, Kanim the Dukranin Misakhin Bahen. That you can use Kanim and Dukranim. It sounds initially like these are two different types of branches that can be used for Schach, but the Gemara asks, Kanim Pshita. Obviously, you can use Kanim, you can use reeds for Schach. That's the classic example of Schach. You take something that grew from the ground, not Mekabatoma, of course it's going to be Kasher. What's the Chiddush? Rather, it's talking about our case. Ema, Kanim Shel Dukranin Misakhin Bahen. You can use the Kanim Shel Dukranin, the offshoots of the reed tree. That's what we say is Misakhin Bahen. As we were saying above, there's no concern of bundled Schach, because it's naturally bound together. So that's that third inyan for the day. We had smali schach, we had schach, the things are falling into your food, and we have this naturally bound schach. It's not going to be a problem either rabbanan of bundled schach. The Amar Rav Chista, Amar Ravina Bar Shila, Hani Merarisa de Agma, Adam Yotze Behen Yedei Chovaso BePesach. We now shift gears to Maror, Hilchos Pesach. That's because this is the same, it's a halacha quoted by the same Rav Chista quoting Ravina Bar Shila, but it's a halacha of Maror, that Maror de Agam, Maror from a swamp, you can use for Maror on Pesach. Mar asks, Mesvei, Ezov velo Ezov Yavan. There's a halacha, the Mishnah in Para talks about the Ezov, which is a hyssop, if that helps you to call it a hyssop. Well, let's just call it an Ezov. So the Ezov has various different places where it comes up in the Torah and in halachos where an Ezov is used. It's used first as it comes up by Yetzias Mitzrayim, where they use the Ezov to put the blood on their doorposts, but halachically it comes up by Para Aduma, that you take the Ezov and you mix it with the Afer Para mixture. You use that to sprinkle someone who was Tamei Mace, and use it also for Mitzorah. It's part of the purification process for the Mitzorah, and for all these halachos which require an Ezov, it has to be a hyssop. So the Mishnah clarifies, it has to be a generic hyssop. The Torah just says Ezov, and it has to be a Stam Ezov. It can't be an Ezov Yavan, a Greek Ezov, because a Greek Ezov isn't a Stam Ezov. That's a specific type. That's not going to be okay. But though Ezov Kuchli, it can't be an Ezov Kuchli, maybe a blue Ezov, maybe a Kuchli is also the name of a place, that's Machlokas, but a low Ezov Midbari, it can't be a desert Ezov, below Ezov Romi, it can't be a Roman Ezov, below Kol Ezov Sheyeshlo Shem Levi, it can't be an Ezov that has a Shem Levi, it has an additional identifying name to it, a modifying name to it, like the Greek Ezov, like the Roman Ezov. That's not going to be okay, because the Torah didn't say Greek Ezov, the Torah didn't say Roman Ezov, the Torah just said Stam Ezov. Stam Ezov means just the generic Ezov, and not a particular type, but a particular min of Ezov. And so the Gemara's question is, the Torah also just says Maror. Torah doesn't say Maror, swamp Maror, Torah says generic maror, so lechora maror de agam, this swamp maror has a shame levai that should be excluded from when the Torah just says stam maror. So the Gemara gives two answers. Amar Abaye, kol sheneshtane shemo kodem matan Torah. It has to be that it had that Shem Levi, it had that unique name before matan Torah. Before the Torah was given, it had that name, and then ubasa Torah vehekpida alav, and then the Torah comes and says, for example, stam Ezov. So you already had these different minim of Ezov there in existence beforehand. The Torah didn't say that, it said stam Ezov. Therefore, biyadua sheyesh lo Shem Levi. Therefore, the Torah is coming to exclude those other types of Ezov. It says generic to exclude the other types that were already around at the time of Matan Torah. But Hani, by us, by the Maror de Agam, lo nishtane shemayu kodem Matan Torah klal. Their name wasn't changed before Matan Torah. It only got that name of the swamp Maror later afterwards. Therefore, the Torah wasn't coming to exclude it. The Torah only excludes things that had a name before the Torah was given. That's the first answer of Abaye. Rava Amar, Hani Mirarisa Stama Shemayu. Really, this Maror isn't really called Maror de Agam. It's really called Maror Stam. It really is Stam Maror. It's exactly the Stam Maror that we're talking about, the Torah is talking about. V'hai de Kari Lehu Mirarisa de Agma. Why did we just call it Mirarisa de Agma? Mishton de Mishtakach be Agma. Because it happens to be found in the swamp. That's not a unique type of Maror. It's really the same as the generic Maror that the Torah refers to. The Tiferes Yisrael asks, isn't that also what Greek Ezov is and Roman Ezov is? It's just an Ezov that's found in Rome or in Yavan. So the Tiferes Yisrael explains that, no, those are actually different types of Ezov. They're different minim of Ezov altogether. They look different and they have different qualities to them. That's why the Torah is coming to exclude those things. It has to be a Shem Levi, which is given because it's a different min. But over here, this Maror is the exact same min of Maror that we're referring to, that Maror Stam is. It happens to be found in a certain location, so they use the name just to locate it, but it's not actually a different min whatsoever. So that's the concept of Shem Levi about Maror. Now back to our bundled schach. Amar Rav Chista, Eged Bechad Lo Shmei Eged. As we said, a bundle of one thing is not considered a bundle. I saw an interesting idea, totally unrelated. The Ramchal talks about an aguda. We mentioned an aguda in a tefillin in Arshani Yom Kippur about V'yayasu Chulam Aguda Achas. So the Ramchal points out, so I would have thought like, oh, aguda, like Bnei Yisrael, is like Klai Yisrael are an aguda, and like we're bundled together. But he's mechalik between Klai Yisrael, which are a goy echad, we are one unique entity, and that tefillah where we say, v'yayasu chulam aguda achas, that's referring to not just Klai Yisrael, but the entire world. That's referring to when the entire world is going to acknowledge the Kadosh Baruch Hu, and realize that Hashem is the Malach Malchei Hamlachim, and so that's considered an aguda, because when you bind together us and also all the other nations, where even when we're all going to be bound and all worshiping a Kadosh Baruch Hu, we're going to be different types. going to be different things. We're going to be worshiping Hashem for different purposes. We're going to have our Avodas Hashem. They'll have their Avodas Hashem. But it's going to be an Aguda, because an Aguda is not one item together. An Aguda is multiple things that are bound together. So Bnei Yisrael are just Goy Echad. But when you bound us with all the different nations, that's binding different things together. That's called an Aguda Achas. Okay, just to break up the day a bit. Amar Rav Chista, Eged Bechad Lo Shmei Eged. So one thing bound together is not considered in a bundle. Again, you just wrapped a rope around one piece of straw. That's not a bundle at all. And Shlosha Shmei Eged. Three is definitely a bundle. That everyone agrees to. But what about two? Shnayim Machlokes Rabbi Yosi V'Rabbanon. It's Machlokes if you wrap a rope around two things. Is that a bundle? Or is that just two things with a rope wrap around it? So that's a machlokas of Yosi v'Rabbanan. Ditznan, it says in the Mishnah in Parah, mitzvahs ezov, shlosha kilachim, for the ezov, which we said again, which is used in Parah Aduma, other areas as well, that ezov, which has to be bound, has to be an aguda, shlosha kilachim, you have to have three different roots of ezov, ubahen shlosha givolin, and you also have to have three stems coming out of those roots, which means one for each root, so you're going to have three stems altogether. That's Tanakama. The Rabbanan just say stam. You have to have three things. Rabbi Yosi Omer, mitzvahs ezov shlosha givolin. You do have to have three stems coming out when you start. But let's say some fall out in the or as time goes by, some of those stems start to fall off. So Rabbi Yosi says v'shiarav shenayim. If one falls off and you're left with two, that's going to be okay as well. You got to start with three. If one falls off, and you're left with two. That's okay as well. The gardumav. Let's say some fall off because you're sprinkling with this plant, and if you do a sprinkling with the plant a lot of times, then it's naturally going to start falling apart and disintegrate. So the gardumav, when it breaks apart, that could be kol shehu, as long as you have some kol shehu left over, that's going to be considered that you still have your group of three roots of Ezov. So Kasa, say to start off with three. If you have two left over, that's going to be okay. That's a shita of Rabbi Yosi. So Kasaka Daitin, Midashiarav Shinayim, since Rabbi Yosi says if you're left with two, that's okay. So presumably, Tichila Sonami Shinayim. He's also okay if you start off with two pieces of Ezov. And two, you need to have a bundle for Ezov. And he says two would be okay. Taritani Shlosha LeMitzvah. He says to ideally for the mitzvah, you should ideally Katchila start off with three. But if you only had two, that would also be okay. And therefore, Rav Yossi says that two would be considered a bundle. Made Rav Yossi shlosha lemitzvah, the Rabbanan shlosha la'akiv. And therefore, the Rabbanan said three la'akiv, that the Rabbanan hold that three is needed because two is not an aguda. So it sounds like from here that Rav Yossi and the Rabbanan have machlokes, and Rav Yossi says that two is a bundle. But is that true? The Tanya, but it says in the Braisa, Rav Yosi Omer, Ezov Tchilaso Shnayim, Vishyarav Echad Pasel. If you start off with two, it's actually Pasel. The Eino Kasher Achi Yehe Tchilaso Shlosha, Vishyarav Shnayim. It's only kosher if you start off with three. If one falls off later, that's going to be okay. But Tchilaso, to start off, you have to have three, because Rav Yosi says that you need to have three for a bundle, and two is not a bundle. So Rav Yosi seems to say that two is not a bundle. So we said, Epoch, Tamar says, Epoch, maybe you could switch the shittos. So in the Chanami, it's Machlokas, Rav Yosi, and Rabbanan, whether two is a bundle. But we're going to flip who says what. Rav Yosi says that two is not a bundle, and the Rabbanan say that two is a bundle. The Rav Yosi, Shlosha La'akiv, that you need to have three according to Rav Yosi because two is not a bundle, two is not okay. So Rav Yosi says no, and the Rabbanan, who said Shlosha, that was just L'mitzvah, but the Rabbanan would say that two would be okay because two is a bundle. So he said three, everyone agrees, is a bundle. One is definitely not a bundle. Two is a Machlokas. Rabbi Yosi says no, the Rabbanan say yes, it is a bundle. The Hatanya and a supporting Braisa for the Rabbanan Shita that two is considered a bundle, that would be okay. It says in the Braisa, Ezov Tchilaso Shnayim Vishyarav Echad Kasher. For an Ezov, if you start off with two, and Shyarav Echad, if you left over with one, that's going to be kosher. The Eino Posel, Eino Pasel, Achiyehe Tchilaso Vishyarav Echad. You need to start off with one, and it's Pasel if you start off with one, and it also seems like he's saying it's going to be Pasel if you're left over with one. So you have a stira in this Braisa itself. At first it says Shyarav Echad is kosher, and then it says Shyarav Echad is Pasel. So Gemara asks, Sharav Echad Pasul, Ha'amart, Sharav Echad Kasher. We said that having one left over is okay. So the Gemara explains, Ela Ema, Ashetehe Tchilaso Kishyarav Echad. That really we were saying that in the Chanami, leaving one left over is going to be okay. And we just meant to say that in terms of Tchilaso, you need to start off with two. And if you start off with one, that would not be okay. Because the Rabbanan hold, if you start off with two, that's kosher, because two is a bundle, according to the Rabbanan. So the Rabbanan say two is a bundle. bundle. Rav Kuna, Rav Yossi, two would not be a bundle. And that's the machlokas is about two. Three, everyone agrees, is a bundle. One is definitely not a bundle. And two is a machlokas, as we just explained it. So that's what we said so far. We had different halachos. Smell the tzchach, tzchach falling down. We spoke about the eged be'e shamayim. We spoke about the shem levoi for your maror. And now we spoke about that one is definitely not an aguda. Three is definitely an aguda. And two is a machlokas, Rav Yossi and the Rabbanon, whether it is or is not a bundle. Which again, a bundle is good for Ezov, and it's bad for us. For tzchach purposes, that would be considered a bundle. That would be a psul. The halacha Shulchan Aruch paskins like a Yerushalmi that actually 25 is a bundle. Anything less than 25, which is a totally off the charts from what our Gemara talks about, but that's how the Rambam paskins like the Yerushalmi. That's a much larger number, and that's how Shulchan Aruch paskins as well. Back to more bundles. Darash Meremar Hani Asuriyasa Desura Mesakhin Bahu. The bundles from Sura, even though they're bundles, but should be a problem for Skach, but it's kosher for Skach, Mesachin Behu. Afal Gav de Agdan, even though it is bundled, Leminyana Be'alma Hu de Agdan. It was only bundled for the sake of counting, for numbers, so that when the guy would sell his bundles of whatever he's selling, so he'd know, okay, every bundle is 10 items. And so I sell the guy a bundle, I'm selling him 10 objects. But they would not use that for drying purposes. They wouldn't use that bundle for drying and for storing, and therefore it's not related to our gzera at all. Right? The whole gzera of bundled stuff for schach is because we may put it up there for drying purposes, and then that's going to be a psul of tas evolum and ha'asui. But over here, these bundles aren't used for drying and for storing. They're only bound for the sake of minyana, to know how many there are, just for counting purposes, and therefore it's not going to be included in our halacha. Amar Rabbi Abba, hani tsrifi de orvini. You can go to your WhatsApps. This is the fun WhatsApp break. If you look I sent a picture in the WhatsApp, if it went through, hopefully it went through, of this Tsrifi de Orvini. It is a teepee, essentially. For those that have the picture, it's like a teepee. A bunch of different branches that are kind of like up together, going towards laying on each other, like a teepee. And they are bound in two places. They're bound on the top. All the branches are bound on the top of this hut. And also on the bottom, it's like an interwoven rope going around the bottom as well to make sure that the bottom is bound and the top is bound as well. So it's bound in two different places. And so this, again, it's bound to be a problem for Schach. So the Gemara clarifies, Hani Tsrifi de Orvini, Kevan She Hutra, Roshe Ma'adonim. Once you untie the top part, where everything is bound on the top, if you untie that, it's already going to be kosher for Schach. It's not considered bound. Avaha Agidi Mitasai. But as we explained, it's also bound on the bottom. It's interwoven on the bottom of the branches as well, at the bottom of the teepee. Isn't it still considered an aguda, and therefore going to be puzzle for Schach? So Amara Papa, Shari Lehum. You're right. And therefore, when we said it's kosher, we meant when you untied that part. When you at least just cut the rope on the bottom and allow it to go on its own, then you untied the bottom. Therefore, it's not going to be an aguda because you untied the top and you untied the bottom. Rav Huna, brother of Yeshua, Amar, Afilu Tema, Lo Shari Lehu, even if you don't untie the bottom part where it's interwoven amongst the different sticks, it's still not considered an aguda to pasul your schach. Why? Because Kol Eged She'enu Asu Letaltalo, Lo Shmei Eged. Anything that's bound but is not movable is not considered a bundle. And once you untie the top part, even though the bottom happens to be interwoven a bit, you can't move that because the top is untied and it's going to immediately fall apart. So once you can't move it, that's not going to apply to our gzera. Our gzera is you're going to put this on top of your sukkah and it's going to be used for drying purposes. But if it's not movable, you can't do that. That's not going to be included in our gzera of aguda, of bundled schach. Question?
In this picture, it looks like they're interlocking between the individual branches in addition to the rope on the bottom and the top.
Right.
Yeah, that's what it is.
Right. So yeah, but bundle has to be that there's a rope that's bound them together, not that they're binding themselves together.
If they're linked with each other, that's not considered an aga?
Oh, you're saying it's not going to fall apart. Yeah, it's still going to fall apart just from the fact that the top is tied together. But yeah, it's a good question. And yeah, they tied it on top because otherwise it would fall apart. So the assumption is once you untie the top, then it's going to all fall apart.
It's not going to collapse.
What?
Would that be then okay or not okay?
Right. The assumption is that if it would not be able to be moved, then that's when we say, even though it's bound, it's not going to be a problem. So yeah, if you could move it, then that would in theory be a problem. There's an interesting shita of the Bach. The Bach says that Rav Huna is actually coming to say that even if the top is left bound together, it's still going to be kosher, because a bundle is only a problem if it's bound for the sake of drying. But here, it's not bound for storing, it's bound for moving purposes. And here, when it's not, if it's bound for moving purposes, even if it's still bound, it would not be, it would, that's what's going to be kosher, because it's not being bound. Right. So that would be that's a unique Kiddush over that. But the assumption is that Rav Huna is saying if the top is untied, that's enough. Even if the bottom is still interlocked, that's not going to be a problem because it's not movable. Amar Rav Abba, Amar Shmuel. Yirakos she'amru chachamim adam yotze behen yedei chavasa bepesach. Vegetables that Chazal said you can use for maror on Pesach. We're back to maror again, but this relates to sukkah as well. So there are three halachos about these maror vegetables. Number one, mevienes hatuma. Number two, ve'ein chotetzin b'fnei hatuma. And number three, for us, is poslin b'sukkah mishom avir. So what does that mean, mevienes hatuma and ein chotetzin b'fnei hatuma? So in general, the concept of tumas ohel is if there is a mace under a roof, so everything under the roof becomes tameh. That's the concept of tumas ohel. And therefore, mevienes hatuma means that if you have a roof made out of these yirakos, out of these vegetables, so that roof is mevienes hatuma, that everything, if there's a mace under that roof, everything under that roof is going to be tameh as well. Chatzitza b'fnei hatuma is the concept that if when you have a mace in a, I think of like the classic case of like the sugya that comes up about a kohen flying over a cemetery. Now, if you have a mace in a cemetery, in the kever, we assume that the tumah goes all the way up to Shemayim, and if anyone would jump over that kever, or fly over that kever, they would become tameh, unless they have an item that is being chotzeitz b'fnei hatumah. If there is a roof, so if there's a mace in a house, then if you're on top of the house, that's not going to be a problem, but a mace in a kever, in Beis HaKvaros, the tumah goes straight up to Shemayim, and so in theory, it should be a problem for a kohen to fly over a cemetery, and the shaila is is an airplane, perhaps, that's made out of metal, can that serve as a chatzitza or not? That's a machlokas in the Achronim about what is considered a chatzitza of Neatoma. And so, generally speaking, if a house is a roof that, number one, it's maybe a satoma, everything under the house is going to be tamei, and also, usually, that also means that it's going to be appropriate as a chatzitza of Neatoma, that if you're on top of the roof, you're not going to become tamei, because the roof serves as a chatzitza, as a separation between you and the mace. And over here, we kind of take two different sides that we say, number one, these yirakos are maybe esatuma. It is considered a roof, that if there's a mace under that roof, then everything else under that roof is also going to be tameh. But also, number two, the ein chotetzin b'fnei hatuma. You should not rely on this to serve as a chatzitza, as a barrier between you and tuma. And Rashi explains that, technically speaking, mita oraisa, it should be okay. If it's enough to be a roof, to be spread the tumah throughout the roof, it should also be enough to serve as a separation between me and the maze. But mita rabbanan, they're concerned that you shouldn't rely on this because it could end up crumbling apart. It's not the most reliable chatzitza. So that mita rabbanan, we say that it's not going to be chotetz of neha tumah. So that's two halachos of tumah that relate to the yirakos of maror. But for us, number three, poslin basuka mishum avir. These are going to be puzzle for sukkah, and that is not a chiddush, that it's puzzle for sukkah, because as we said earlier, there are two different things you need to be a kosher sukkah. It has to be gedul min ha'aretz, that it grew from the ground, and it has to be that it's not mekabel tumah. And as we said, food is mekabel tumah, and these yirakos which you're going to be using for maror is food. It should be mekabel tumah, and so I obviously would know that it's not going to be kosher for skach. But the chiddush is that it's poslin b'sukkah mishum aver. We don't view it as pasul schach on top of your sukkah. We view it as if there's nothing, as if there is airspace on top of your sukkah. And there's a halachic nafkamina between airspace, avir, versus schach pasul. As we're going to see later in this perek, that by schach pasul, it's only a problem if you have four tefachim of schach pasul. That's the amount, the shear to be pasul is to have four tefachim of schach pasul. If you have three tefachim, that would be okay. Four tefachim of schach pasul is a problem. But by airspace, by avir, we see that even three tefachim is going to be pasul. And so by this maror, the yirakos, by saying that it's not schach pasul, it's avir, that means that it's going to be pasul even with three tefachim. Schach pasul is only a problem with four tefachim, but this is so bad, we view it as airspace, then therefore it's going to be a problem even with three tefachim of this maror as your schach. Why do we view it as airspace? It's there. There is something there. So the Gemara explains, my taima, kevan de Ki Yavshi Parchi Venafli, since when this inevitably is going to dry up in the sun, it's going to then disintegrate and it's going to break apart and fall down. You're not going to have any schach anymore. So Kiman Deleis Nehudami, view it as if right now it's not even there. Even though it is here right now, since we know it's definitely going to crumble and fall apart, we view it as if it's not even there right now. This argument that a thing that's going to go away is viewed as if it's not even here right now actually comes up in an interesting halacha, which does not happen to us so much, but there's a halacha that was asked to the Ginas Radim about what if there is snow on top of your schach. Hasn't happened to anybody over here? But
yeah,
depending.
We had that in Mansi.
Oh, really?
No,
my father was up shoveling the snow on top of the schach. Oh,
wow. There you go. I thought it was like a geographical thing. But yeah, so... So if you have snow on top of your schach, is that going to be a problem to have snow on top of your schach? So the Ginas Radim says that perhaps this svara can be applied to be a kula over there. Over here we said the leaves are going to disintegrate, it's going to fall down, even though it's there right now when it's schach puzzle, since it's going to fall away, we view it as if right now it's not even there. So snow as well is going to melt in the near future. And so even though it's there right now, we can see it, we can view it as if it's not even here right now, and it wouldn't even be a problem. That's the suggestion of the Ginas Rebbe, since it's going to melt away, it's if it's not even here right now. Aruch HaShulchan disagrees, does not think that that would be a proper, I don't know, Lamaisa, if this comes up, ask your local Orthodox rabbi. Aruch HaShulchan disagrees that would not be okay by the snow. He starts asking, maybe snow is actually kosher schach. So let's go through our different checkboxes. Snow has to be mekabel, not mekabel toma. He goes to Gemara and Nida that says that snow is not mekabel toma, and then the hurdle is going to be gidulo min ha'aretz. The snow grow from the ground. So go to Mordechai that actually holds that snow is considered gidulo min ha'aretz. After all, we did say on Yud Aleph Amud Beis that clouds are gidulo min ha'aretz. Maybe it's not so far-fetched to extend gidulo min ha'aretz to other things as well. He suggests that maybe it's possible, but he's like, nah, like there's no way. So he doesn't actually think lemaisa, lemaskana, that that's going to be considered kosher schach to not be a problem. But that shaila that we have over here about the maror that's going to fall away, so that is brought as a related to the sugya of when there is snow on top of your sugya.
Don't you still have a problem that there's it's like a solid piece? If you were to take a board of wood and just put it down, it's gidulim and aris, but it's solid.
Right, you have to be able to get some... of sunlight through. Yeah, so I don't know what the metzias is of that case, or if the suggestion here is that even though there's nothing coming through, since it's going to go away, we'll view it as if it's not a problem. But yeah, I'm not sure. That's a good question. It may be that it has to be not super thick. I'm not sure. And Lisa, you're going to take off your snow, your sock anyway. But this is a fun...
I realized that in the place that Baruch HaShulchan lived, this was a real event that happened every year. So it wasn't... They were really looking for kulas. They weren't looking for the optimum situation. And to climb up on the roof was... not an option.
Right. Yeah, so it's an interesting question. We'll have to deal with the details of those halakhas at another time. The Amar Rabbi Abba, this is the last section for the day. We're going to discuss the topic of yados. Rabbi Abba, Amar Rab Huna, Habotzer Legat, Ein Lo Yados. If you're going to harvest grapes for a wine press, you're going to crush those grapes and make them into wine, Ein Lo Yados, it is not going to have the halakha of yados. So what is yados? Yados is a halacha in Hilchos Tumah. It's actually very simple. Yad means a handle. It's a handle to a food, let's say. So we're talking about grapes over here. So the stem of the grapes is the handle for the grapes. If you hold a cluster of grapes, you're going to hold it from the stem. You're not going to hold the individual grapes and like let the stem hang down. You're going to hold it from the stem, and the handle for a food has unique halachos that usually stems, we said, are plants, are not mekabel tumah, should not be able to contract tumah. But since it's a handle, it's an accessory to the food, we view the handle as if it is a chelek of the food, and therefore even the handle is able to be mekabel tumah as well. And if the handle is mekabel tumah, then the grapes also mekabel tumah. If the grapes mekabel tumah, then the handle is mekabel tumah. A yad means that it's a handle that's used to hold the food, and therefore now it has the ability to contract tumah, and it's going to, even though it naturally shouldn't be able to, we're going to view it as one entity, as the grape, because it's being there, it's being used to hold the grape. But the caveat is that it's being there to hold the grape. That a yad is only when you actually want to have the stem attached because you want to be able to hold onto it. But what if you don't want the handle there? You don't want the stem there, for example, if you're pressing grapes to make wine. So you don't want the stems attached to the grapes when you are pounding the grapes to make wine. I thought because you don't want stems in your grape juice, that the Gemara is going to say because when you have the stems in your grape juice or in your wine, it's going to absorb some of the liquid, and that's less product for you to go sell to people. But either way, you don't want stems attached to your grapes when you're As we all know, when we mash our grapes in our backyard to make our wine, if you don't go to the store. So we don't want our stems to be attached to our grapes. So there, it's not going to be a yad. A yad's when I hold onto the stem because I want to have that there in order to eat the grape. That's a yad. That's able to be mekabel tumah. But if it's there and I don't want it to be there, I prefer it not be there. That's ein lo yados. That's what Rav Huna says. Habotir legatz ein lo yados. It's not going to be considered a yad. It's not an accessory to the grape. I prefer that the grape not have this stem attached to it. That's Rabbi Abba. Rabbi Abba quotes from Rav Huna. Rabbi Abba says that by the grapes, ein lo yados, it is not considered a yad, and therefore the stems are not mekabel tumah. And a second halacha, for Rabbi Menashe bar Gada amar Rav Huna, hakotzer l'schach ein lo yados. If you harvest, grains and the plant attached to it for schach purposes, that's also ein lo yados. Rabbi Menashe bar Gada says when you harvest, this also is in a picture. Technically, if you want to see a picture of a piece of wheat with the stalk attached to it, if you can't envision a piece of wheat, it's also in the PDF for some reason. But so you have a stalk of wheat. The bottom is like the plant part. That's like the branch. The branch part could be used for schach. The grain on top is food. Food cannot be used for schach because food is mekabel tumah. So that's not considered a yad. I don't want the stem attached to the food because I want to make schach out of this stuff. I can't use the food for my schach. I'd much prefer that the food not be attached to the handle, to the stem. And so therefore, ein lo yados because I don't want it to be attached. So therefore, it's not going to be considered a yad and it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So two halachos. One, the grapes for your wine press, the stems are not considered a yad because you don't want the stems attached to your grapes. Number two, by schach, when you have the grains attached to the stalk, that's not considered a yad. The stalk is not considered a yad because you don't want the things to be attached because you don't want the food for your schach because the food is going to be schach puzzle. So the Gemara now says that manda amar kotzer kol shekein botzer. Even the one who says that for schach purposes it's not considered a yad is definitely going to agree by the grapes that it's not considered a yad. Delo nichale, delo nimtze lechamre. Everyone knows you don't want the stems attached to your grapes because you don't want the stems in your mixed into your grape juice and in your wine. So that everyone agrees to. But manda amar botzer she'ein lo yados. Rabbi Abba, who said that by the grapes the stems are not considered a yad, aval kotzer yesh lo yados. He would disagree by the schach case that it is considered a yad, that you do want the stalk to be attached to the grain, the kernels on top. Why? The nichale, you want them attached. The lischach behu ki hechi delo levadron. Even though the grains themselves can't be used for schach because it's food. Food is mekabel tumah. That would be schach puzzle. But I want it there because if I only had the stem part, it would blow away in the wind and it wouldn't stay organized attached to my sukkah. So I want the grain to be there to help weigh it down and to keep them in place. And so therefore, even though by the grapes the stems are not wanted, by the schach you do want the grains attached to the stem because it's going to help your schach stay put together and remain on your sukkah. So that we said that everyone agrees that the grapes are not, the stems are not considered a handle, but by the grains for your schach, that is a machlokes. So Gemara now suggests, Nema de Rav Menashe bar Gada Tanaihi. Let's suggest that Rav Menashe bar Gada, that the schach is not considered a yad, that the grains are not considered attached to the, halakhli like a yad, that the stems are not considered a yad to the grains. That's a machlokes Tanaim. De Tanya, as it says in a Brisa, Soche te'enim uvahen te'enim. We're going to now discuss different branches where the branch is kosher schach. You also have the food attached to that. As we said, food is mekabel tumah. Food is pasul schach. So you have this mixture of kosher schach and pasul schach. And so, of course, you want to rely on bitul. You want to have more of the kosher schach than pasul schach. So soche te'enim, if you have branches with figs on them, ubahen te'enim, and the figs are still attached to them. Figs are not kosher schach. And parchilin ubahen anavim. You also have the vines which have grapes on them. And kashin ubahen shibolin. You have the stalks which still have the grains attached to them. And machbedus ubahen tamarim. You also have the dates which are still attached to their branches. So in all these cases, you want to use it for schach, but you have a mixture of kosher branches which are good for schach, and food which is not kosher for schach. So we set the first shita is impisoles meruba al ha'o. If the kosher schach is rove over the food, which is pasul, so kshera, it's going to be kosher because you have more kosher schach than a pasul schach. The imlav pisula. If you don't have majority of the psoles over the food, which is not good schach, then it's going to be a problem. It's going to be a puzzle. But acherim omrim achiyuhu kashin merubin al hayados va'ala ochlin. It isn't enough to just be mevatel the food, because the food is mekabel toma and it's a problem. You have to also have enough kosher schach to be mevatel the yad, the stems that are attached, or the part, the stalk that's connected to those grains. You have to have enough to be mevatel that as well, because even the yad is also considered, it's considered a yad for Hilchos Toma, it is Mekabel Toma, and therefore the stems are also going to be Pasul Schach. And if we have to be able to be Mevatel, that as well. Right, so we all agree you have to be Mevatel any Pasul Schach, but do you have to be Mevatel just the food, or do you have to also be Mevatel the stems? If you say that stems in our Schach case are considered a yad, it's an accessory to the food you want it to be attached, then you would have to be Mevatel even the yad. And the other Shita says, no, there are no yados by Schach, because you don't want the schach to be attached, the grain to be attached to your schach, and therefore you don't have to be mevatel the yad. There is no yad because ein lahem yados. That's what we suggest. My laba hakamifligi. The mar savar yesh lahem yados, or mar savar ein lahem yados. It seems that the machlokes is about whether there is yados or is not yados for schach. Things that you take for schach, is it considered that the stalk is attached to the grain and you want it to be attached, or is it not considered that you want it to be attached? So the Gemara says, Rabbi Abba vadai tanaihi. Where Rabbi Abba said that by kotzer it is yeshlo yados. And so he would say that that there's no way for him to get out of this machlokes tanaim. He says that there is yados over here, and so he has no way of explaining the other shita that says that you don't have to be mevatel the yad. He's going to be forced to say that this is a machlokes tanaim. But the Rav Menashia Bargada, who said that there's really nothing, there isn't a yad over here, that when you take for skach, you don't want the grain to be attached to your plant, and it's not considered yados, but mi lema tanaihi. He could still explain the both shitos over here. But just to review, we said two different shittos. One shita says you have to have enough kosher schach to just be mevatel the food, and that makes sense because there are no yados over here. The other shita said you have to have enough kosher schach to be mevatel the food and the yados, and the handles, and the stems. But according to Rav Menashe Bargada, when you take something for schach, it's not considered a yad, because you don't want that attached to your schach. So Amar Lecha Rav Menashe, he would explain that everyone actually agrees. Dekulei alma savri hakotzer l'schach ein lo yados. Everyone agrees that there's no yados when you take something for schach. You don't want the grain to be attached to your plant, to your schach. But v'hacha v'mayaskinan kegon shekotetzon l'achila benimlach aleihen l'sikach. Here we're talking about when someone took some grains for eating purposes. And for eating purposes, you always want the stem to be there because you want to hold on to the stem to be able to eat. And here you then changed your mind and said, later I'm going to use this for skach instead. That's why it has the halakha of yados. But everyone agrees, when I take things for skach, I don't want the food attached to the branch because the food is puzzle. So since I don't want it, it's not going to be considered a yad, and therefore it's not going to be mekabel tumah. So we'll stop there. The Gemara's going to go back and forth with this whole sugya for a bit. So we'll have to review next week when we jump back into the concept of yados. But we spoke today about smelly schach. That smelly schach is going to be pasul midrabanan. We spoke about schach that things are going to fall into your sukkah. We spoke about the offshoots from the palm tree that it's bound by a Hashem. Eger b'dei shamayim lo shmei eger. We spoke about the shem levoi that the maror can it be maror stam. Can it also be maror from the swamp? Does the Torah exclude the modifying types of maror and azov? We then spoke about that everyone agrees that a bundle for three things is a bundle. One thing bound with a rope is not considered a bundle. And two is a machlokas Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan. Then we spoke about the tipi, which if you unbind the top, is that going to be enough to make it not considered a bundle? We spoke about maror being a roof for tuma, being a chatitza for tuma, and being schach pasul, actually being considered an avir, considered as if it's not even there, perhaps related to snow on our sukkah. That was fun. And then we spoke about yados, the halacha, that if something is a handle for a food, that handle is also going to be able to be mekabel tuma. But when it comes to my schach, I don't want the handle attached to the grain, because the grain isn't good for my schach. Then by sukkah, it would not be considered yados. Yes, you got it.